Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, we're now tuning to my girl Ebony B.
Ebony B.
Ebony B. On Diva Spot. Call in live now at 347-850-1521. And don't forget to check her out online at www.divaspotradio.com.
Tonight, and we're going to be talking more about women's issues, you guys. So y'all make sure y'all call us up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521, and press the one button to be heard. Enough about me. I'm the co-host on Saturdays. We're going to get your host here. Jay Biggs, can you hear me?
Yo, what up, what up? It's the Jay, live. Coming from Manhattan, we just shot this little video piece, and now I'm on the live on the radio. We doing it.
That's definitely what's going on, Jay Biggs. Tell them what they got, what the goodies that you got in store today on Steffi Game Up Saturdays, man. You got some goodies you're gonna bring to help these people, help the community step their games up.
Yeah, I mean, last week, you know, we were talking about PCOS, you know, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and we got a good response from that, a lot of good feedback. You know, I'm trying to help the women out. This week I want to talk about another disease that's near and dear to me. It's called hyperemesis gravidarum, shorten it as HG, the initials HG, the letter H, the letter G. And to talk about that, I got a special co-host I want to bring to the show who can kind of give us more, you know, give us more insight into that and what goes into that.
Well, let's go ahead and bring your co-host in. 917-216, you're now live on Steffi Game Up Saturday.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very loud and clear.
Yeah. Terrific.
Wow.
Yes, I'm Lyle Brooks, and I'm the webmaster and the volunteer coordinator at an organization called Beyond Morning Sickness, which helps counsel and offers a variety of services to women who have hyperemesis gravidarum.
Sounds good. So, I mean, my first question, can you tell us a little bit more about what the disorder, I mean, and what goes in? Like, what does it do to women? I mean, because I've had problems and, you know, dealing with my woman, and she's dealt with it. So can you explain to us a little bit about how it functions and what happens when you have hyperemesis?
Absolutely. Hyperemesis is often confused with mere morning sickness, but it's really like morning sickness on steroids or jet fuel. Morning sickness, regular morning sickness, involves nausea and vomiting, but that's really where the similarity ends. When you have hyperemesis, you have 24/7 constant nausea. You're vomiting 20, 40, 80 times a day. You're going to experience often severe weight loss. A woman who wrote in recently told me she lost 65 pounds in her last pregnancy. Dehydration, an inability to eat or even to take a small sip of water. And obviously these are very debilitating problems, and they, apart from disabling the woman from ordinary activities of life, they have a tremendous secondary effect on her family and everybody around her. And in the worst cases, sometimes they have thoughts of dying, wanting to die, wanting to have a miscarriage, and even wanting to terminate the pregnancy.
Mm. Yeah, I know, because I know in doing the research on it, I've seen that, you know, a lot of times what ends up happening is because you're not able to eat, the women are not able to eat, that they have to often, like, the hospital, they go to the hospital, and the hospital will give them, like, an IV, an home IV, in order to have a chance to feed the baby.
Absolutely. When Ashley McCall, who wrote the book Beyond Morning Sickness, had hyperemesis in her very last pregnancy, she did not eat solid food for 70 days. She was hooked up to an IV, and all her nutrition was given through her veins. And
wow.
Although that happens more on the severe ends of the spectrum, often women will have home health care, and they'll be taking their medicines and getting fluids through IV. So, yeah, that's quite frequently one of the treatments and the consequences of dealing with it, because what often happens when a doctor misdiagnoses it or ignores it, he will do what's known, he'll cracker the woman, meaning basically saying, you know, have a cracker, take some ginger, and they can't do that. They can't even have a sip of water. And what they really need is competent medical care, and often that's going to involve either hospitalization or health care that supplies the nutrition that they can't take, you know, by the mouth.
Wow. Yeah, so just so I can underscore the severity of this, this isn't just, I get this in a day or a week or so. This is during the whole 9 months or from 6 to 9 months of the pregnancy, the entire pregnancy.
You know, often it does. I have to say that possibly the majority of women who've written to us have hyperemesis, which lasts that long. Now, the studies have shown that generally, and I have to caution, this is sort of a very general thing, it'll start at 4 or more often 6 weeks, and it'll last in milder cases to 12 to 15 weeks. In the average cases, the symptoms will start to disappear at 20 weeks, but often they do linger up until the moment of birth, and often the severe symptoms, the nausea and the vomiting, last right up to birth. And I've had quite a few cases like that. So it's a very serious disorder.
Well, I do have a question. And, Lyle, I thank you so much for coming on Steppy Game on Saturdays, because a lot of doctors are misdiagnosing this, and they're just saying, oh, you're having morning sickness, and have some ginger ale or some crackers, and they're constantly having issues with their body. And state insurance, which we know government medical insurance only covers certain procedures or only cover medicine,
yes.
would it be wise for any woman that has been diagnosed or think that she has hyperemesis to look to get additional coverage, or if she only has state coverage, state insurance, would it be wise for her to look to invest into additional health insurance to help with these issues? Are there any treatments or anything like that?
Absolutely. One of the problems you'll have with state insurance, one problem that recently I discovered, they don't cover something called the Zofran pump, which simply, when a woman cannot take the Zofran pills, which is one of the drugs which combats the vomiting, sometimes you have to take it through a device that pumps it into you. And in not one of the 50 states will a Medicaid or a state-sponsored program cover that. One thing I have to say, the best insurance plans, if you go to the highest level, they will cover home health care. Well, you'll have the IDs, you'll have a nurse come in, a number of times a week to administer the medicines, to check in on you. But the most common problems I see, whether they have state insurance or employer-sponsored insurance or some other private insurance, the biggest problems are these. First, a lot of them, even if they know what it is, they'll say you cannot come into our offices until 9 weeks, which is crazy because often the worst symptoms are between 6 and 9 weeks, and you can't wait to 9 weeks to see, an OBGYN. And you really have to fight to say, no, this is a special disorder. You have to see me. The second most common problem, or at least very common problem, is most insurers cover only a very limited number of the anti-nausea, anti-vomiting drugs like Zofran. For example, they'll cover only a 3-day supply of Zofran. They won't say it's a 3-day supply. They'll say, this is how many pills you get for the month. You get 10 pills or whatever it is, and that'll last some women just 2 or 3 days, and then they have 27 days of the month where they're enduring this awful torment. Another huge problem is most insurers, or at least a lot of them, do not cover home health care. So you have to go to either the emergency room or be hospitalized. And a lot of the women are victimized by this basically a revolving door emergency room treatment. We'll say, look, if you feel sick, go to the emergency room. So they go there if they can drive there, which isn't easy, and it's especially not easy if they already have children. They go to the emergency room. They're given an infusion. They're rehydrated. They go home. They feel great for an hour or two, and then within 12 hours, they've sunk into misery, and they're just bearing it for another couple of days, another week, and then they go back to the ER and go back and forth. And you'll have, 5, 10, 15, 20 trips to the ER. And most of them would be better off and would probably be cheaper for the insurance company simply to pay for the hospitalization or, ideally, home care if there aren't too many risks to simply being at home. Because the one problem with home care is you have to be very careful that the IV is clean at the insertion point because there's various kinds of infections that can occur. So those have to be monitored by the home health care aides.
That was my next question. How likely is it for you to the infection? How likely is it for you to get an infection? And also, what is the death rate behind hyperemesis?
Okay. With the infection, it's going to vary on how well the area is attended to. There's almost always going to be some kind of irritation, and it's always monitored for infection. And what they do is when it starts getting red or inflamed, they'll simply move the needle to another area. The question is, how common is a serious infection? Well, I don't have statistics, but it's common if it's not taken care of, and it's really a question of monitoring it. The death rate these days is very, very low. I mean, I don't know that it's even registers statistically, because one of two things happens: either the woman gets proper treatment, or she opts for the cure, and there's only one cure really. And she has an abortion and ends right there. So the doctors are going to pressure her into abortion if they cannot handle it themselves, and which is a very sad and tragic ending. And it's what we try to avoid at all costs at Beyond Morning Sickness. We do not believe that in any case, it is the correct or, you know, medically necessary solution. There are treatments for hyperemesis, and you can withstand it if you have proper support from your family and the medical community. As far as what the termination rate is, what women are forced to take that extreme step, it's hard to say. Some studies say it's, you know, between 1, 2, 3%. Some studies say it's 25%. But it's very difficult to register what it is because often there's a mix in factors. Often some of the women who have hyperemesis would have terminated anyway for other reasons, financial or, you know, other pressures. So it's sort of mixed in there with other things. But, I mean, any woman who has withstood hyperemesis for more than a week, generally she's not going to terminate for some other reason. Generally it's because of the hyperemesis. She simply would not have withstood it otherwise. She would have felt the onset, and if she were planning to terminate it, she would have done that anyway probably.
True.
Well, can I get a... Real quick, can I get you to tell us a little bit about the organization that you work under? And can you describe to us a little bit about Ashley McCall and her book?
Absolutely. Ashley McCall, she's a very close friend of mine and really a remarkable woman. She was trained, she was teaching second grade actually about 15 years ago. And starting that kind of career, and then she wanted a baby, and she got pregnant, and she began having the symptoms, and back then the internet was not so developed, and she had no idea what hit her, and she struggled very hard against it, but at 16 weeks she was hallucinating, she was vomiting 40 times a day, she, you know, her body was failing her, her spirit was failing her, she didn't have all the support she needed. And she terminated that first pregnancy. And that began a nearly decade-long quest to find out what hyperemesis was, to find, you know, what the treatments were. And she wrote a book called Beyond Morning Sickness, Battling Hyperemesis Gravidarum, which we finally published in 2007. And since then, it's grown beyond simply distributing the book. And also she wrote a second book for children called Mama Has Hyperemesis, but only for a while.
Sure.
But in a part to distributing the book, and we give it free of charge to any woman who writes in or anyone who has a family member who writes in and has a suffering woman. We also have a volunteer network. All of these are women who have had hyperemesis in the past, and they perform a variety of service. Optimally, what we'd like to do is find a woman in the pregnant woman's area who could actually visit her, bring her the book, find out how she's being treated, advocate for her with her doctors. And we have a network of volunteers who, if they're not in the same area or the state, they will write her, they will call her. They can also advocate over the phone with her and provide emotional support and whatever counseling they can based on their own experience.
Okay. Can you give us the information for the listeners where they can write in the book and any phone
numbers?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the easiest way to reach us is simply go to www.beyondmorningsickness.com and write us at the contact page. The email address is Ashley, that's A-S-H-L-I, at beyondmorningsickness.com. And if you write them...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and if you write that, then you'll generally get a response within minutes from me personally. I have my iPhone on me at all time, and I get alerts, and you'll be gotten back to very quickly. Generally, my policy is to get the woman the book overnight if I can, if she's within the United States. Often, I've sent books to all 50 states and 27 countries, and frequently I will be able to find a woman to whom I have sent a book earlier who can, you know, personally deliver her copies to the woman and sort of become her mentor for the duration of the pregnancy. Sometimes I can't if it's a more remote area, but that's always the objective. And right now I have, it varies, but between, you know, 10 and 20 active volunteers. Can I give a shout out to some of them?
For sure.
Yeah, shout out everybody.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Heather Miranda, Dawn McFarland, Hillary Lopez, Kara Holmes, Sarah Garcia, Rokio Chua, Holly Kennedy, Erin McPherson, Colleen Murray, Amy Morn, Leanne Gibson, Christy Bouchard, Catherine Hiley, Bethany Kerr, Meredith Jensen, and Paola Suarez. And there are others, but I don't want to take up all the airtime.
Oh, no. I'm looking at the site, and I got to give a shout-out, too. Big shout-out to my queen, Charletta Chatwood. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio. She's in the chat room, and she was like, I never heard of this, and it's very informative. So, Charletta, thank you for tuning in to Diva Spa Radio. I was on her show earlier today, but taking a look at the site, www.beyondmorningsickness.com, I was reading something that said over 50,000 American women are hospitalized annually due to hyperemesis, some terminated wanted pregnancies because of the sickness of the disease, lack of information, and lack of social and media support. And I just got to thank Jay Biggs, because this was Steffi Game of Saturdays is all about, but 50,000 women every year are affected by this?
It's serious. It's real serious. You bring up a really interesting point, Ebony, and actually that's probably the last thing I want to ask to Lyle here while we have him on the line. We're Ebony and myself, we're radio personalities, and, you know, I'm actually a musician in my own right, and I just want to know, like, because like you said before, there are doctors that misdiagnose this daily, you know, routinely, they misdiagnose this, so what can we as artists and radio personalities, celebrities, you know, things of that nature, people that are in position, not just us, but just, you know, anyone, what can we do to educate and to spread the word about this?
Well, there are a number of things. You know, sort of on a personal level, if you ever visit a hospital, we have a pamphlet on our website. It's called the Companion Pamphlet, which you can download and print and distribute to any doctors you know, who deal with pregnant women. You know, a lot of women, they know they have the symptoms, but they don't know what the disease is. And if you ever run into anybody who says they're miserable the entire pregnancy, tell them, you know, this isn't you know, you're not imagining it. This is something very real, and you may need treatment. One of the best resources you could direct them to is the Hyperemesis Education and Research Foundation, which is at www.helpher.org. That's helpher.org, and that's the largest clearinghouse for information about hyperemesis gravidarum. It has a large list of doctors who specialize in it, listed by state under you know, one of its tabs for Get Help Now. And it also has a list of volunteers that women can write or call. And also, you know, if you could mention Beyond Morning Sickness, again, we'll help anybody who writes in, and we treat it very seriously, and we'll try to get you immediate help in every way we can.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I appreciate it. I want to, me personally, to give a shout-out. I want to say I appreciate the help that, because my wife, Tina, she's stricken with, poor Tina, stricken with the disease, and she wrote in, and she was shocked at the, you know, just how just pleasant that you were with it after, you know, going to the doctor, and it seems like you just get the runaround when you're going to the, and I would know because I'm there, so, you know, it seems like you just get the runaround with the doctor sometimes, and you guys are just so quick to respond and immediate. I mean, I think you even gave, like, you give out a gift card or something to help towards,
Sometimes I do, yeah. Yeah, often I do. With the doctors, often the problem with hyperemesis is that for many years, for probably, 50 or 60 years, it was thought to be by doctors, mainly male doctors, to be a psychiatric condition. And even Ashley, just 15 years ago, the first thing they did was try to put her in a psychiatric ward. They think that they're imagining these symptoms. They think, oh, you don't want the baby, or you're afraid of pregnancy, or whatever, and you're not really sick, and you don't have to vomit. And that's why they get the runaround, because, A, it's just morning sickness in their minds, and if it's something more, then it's, morning sickness somehow aggravated by a mental condition, and it is not a mental condition. It's a very serious medical, physiological condition.
What a slap in the face to you to go to your doctor, express your concerns about what's going on with your body. You don't understand what's going on, and they try to put you in a mental society.
Absolutely.
Like, really?
Right. They say, right, they bring, instead of bringing in a specialist, they bring in a psychiatrist. It happens to this day. I was told just a couple weeks ago that, she went in, dehydrated, these ketone levels were abominable, and they called in a psychiatrist instead of a maternal fetal specialist.
That's funny. I mean, not funny in a good way, but funny in a really bad way.
I know. And it's astonishing that in 2012 that's still happening to so many women.
You're the expert, so, you think you would trust them with your life, but you just can't. You got to do the research, and that's exactly why I wanted to have you on it.
Thank you. As far as doing the research, I heard a funny story the other day. The last thing you want to hear from your doctor, something this woman told me she heard, he said, I just Googled your symptoms, and I think you have hyperemesis. But that's, if doctors find out that way, I guess it's better late than never. But that's the level of medical, ignorance sometimes.
I Googled your symptoms. I would have slapped him down. That diva thought. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I would have slapped him down. You did what?
Yeah.
I know. I've been coming to see you. I want a refund.
Yeah. At least have the sense not to tell me you Googled it. Tell me that your years of medical education told you that's what it is. Not your last 5 minutes on the internet.
Just imagine coming home to your husband and say, honey, my doctor told me, hey, honey, we found out what it was. My doctor Googled my pimples. My doctor was not hyperemesis. Google told us what happened. Your husband's going to look at you like, baby, you okay? It's not a laughing matter,
but I know.
A professional, you shouldn't say that. That's crazy.
To be fair, there are many doctors who specialize to some degree in hyperemesis. There's actually a dedicated program in California at the Long Beach. It's the Long Beach Memorial Hospital Hyperemesis Program. That's a 3-day program that specifically treats hyperemesis, which is successful in many cases. But other than that, I don't know if there's any sort of dedicated ward to it anywhere, but there are certain protocols, and I just wish every hospital that treated pregnant women would have a written protocol for treating it and advise all of their doctors to follow it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, we'll get there. I think that, faith, you got to have works with your faith to make things happen. So, hopefully we'll get there. But I strongly feel like we need to just keep being educated about what's going on around us, similar to the doctor that Googled it. Just knowing what's going on, I hope he would know more than just, Google and WebMD, but, I think we just
I'm going to start Googling my feelings to see what it comes up. The next time I'm feeling some type of way, if it's aggravated or frustrated, I want to choke somebody out, I'm going to go to Google. and see what it tells me that I have, since the doctor, that's just funny.
It's going to come up. The search is going to come up. It's going to say psychotic. That's what it's going to say.
Yeah.
On the phone line, and they left, so it's okay. We was about to get to them, but they're gone now. But it's all about information. You guys definitely, Dr. Lyle, just appreciate you helping us and educating on us, because so many times we're reading and we don't. I can't speak for we. A lot of times I don't get the big jargon and the medical terms. I'm like, well, what does this mean? And I find myself spending more time searching and researching what the word means and understanding what I'm reading. So it's great that you came on and put it in layman's terms for me and for the show, and I just appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you.
Wow. It's Step Your Game Up Saturdays. Space AJ. At Space AJ, a.k.a. J Biggs.
I just learned something new, and I've been studying this disease for about a year now.
Oh, yeah, and we can get a lot more information. Everybody that's tuned in, that's archiving the show, everybody that's listening on TuneIn Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Phenomenal Radio, we thank you for tuning in right here to Step Your Game Up Saturdays with Jay Biggs and Diva Ebony B, and we're talking about hyperemesis. And you can go to www.beyondmorningsickness.com. Again, that's www.beyondmorningsickness.com and learn more. You can contact them. You can look at their company pamphlet, the experts. They got from the forward. They have so much information on this. And 50,000 women a year, that's a high number. That was scary when I read that, Jay. My heart literally dropped when I read it. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's striking. It's really striking looking at all the numbers, looking at that, and then just the fact that you can have this for such a stretch of time during your pregnancy. Like, normally you get morning sickness, you think it's like, okay, a day or, you know, part of a day or whatever. You're going through this for, That's, and then, like you said, you throw up 60 times a day, you know, something like
that.
Is
there any diarrhea that comes within it, or is it just vomiting and throwing up? Are there any other, let me pull up some symptoms. I've seen some symptoms. When hyperemesis is severe or inadequately treated, it may result in loss of 5% or more of pre-pregnancy body weight, dehydration, nutritional deficiencies, metabolic imbalance, altered sense of taste, sensitivity of the brain to motion, food leaving the stomach more slowly, rapidly changing hormones levels during pregnancy, stomach contents moving back up from the stomach, physical and emotional stress of pregnancy on the body, difficulties with daily activities, wow. Broken blood vessels in the eyes. That's crazy.
Broken blood vessels in the eyes. Wait a minute.
Now I'm looking at that.
That's something new to me. I never heard of that one. I never heard of that, to be honest. And I'm reading. See, I'm learning new stuff. I'm reading and studying the disease, and I'm learning stuff now as we're talking about it.
It's like your body is attacking you. Go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
Like, no, I mean, I don't want to put too much of my own personal, but I know, like, you know, with the first pregnancy we had, it was just like, you know how you throw up, and then it's like nothing comes, but it's just spitting. Like, you look in and you see it's like acidy. You know how that?
Yeah.
The acidy looking. Yeah, it's like that. Like, it was like a lot of that. You know, acidy, throw up kind of looking, and... You know,
like just gagging,
and only
white foaming,
like,
bubbly.
If gas had a color and a substance, it was like bubbles and green and just nasty. I mean, and it wasn't actual, you know, if you thought food, it's food looking, it's chunky, whatever you ate. But it's like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just really, I don't know. Like, we talk a lot about, I feel like you talk a lot about, like, AIDS and breast cancer, but, like, these are the things that, you know, we don't really focus on, and they're just as severe in a way because they're always there, you know, for a duration of a pregnancy, it's there. And
I have a question.
I think it's just, to me, it's astonishing because I'm looking at women in a different way. I'm like, you know, you have babies, and then this is the type of stuff you go through when you're having babies. So a guy is just like, oh, you get knocked up, you know, 9 months, push it out, you know, it's nothing, it's simple. So I'm looking at it in a whole new light because, like, this is one of the things you can go through. And
Can a baby be affected by hyperemesis? Can a baby have any birth defects or any health problems later on in their life or with the during the pregnancy being that the body, if I'm throwing up and I'm not keeping the food down, which is the nourishment for my body and the nourishment for the baby, how is this affecting the baby?
That's the biggest concern because it's like I said, like when I asked Lyle, the women that have it, like they're throwing up like 60 times a day, it's like you have to get the IV. Because it's so severe, you can't keep food nourishment for your baby. You got to get the IV put in your house, you know, so you can stay you know, hydrated, stay feeding nutrients to the baby. So it's and think about it. All the while, you know, if anyone's ever had kids before, you know, anybody listening ever had kids, it's like, you know, you're already emotional and you're going through all this on top of being emotional, like. It's a lot to deal with.
Yep. May I say something? Am I still on the air?
Yes,
Lyle, you said
As far as the effects on the baby, one very common concern that women who have HD have is whether the medications they're having are going to affect the baby in some way, if they're going to be birth defects. In general, most of the standard medications that are used do not have any effect. They don't penetrate the placenta. They, you know, they affect the central nervous system. They've been tested for many, many years. For some of them that are not, you know, totally, you know, the class A drugs that are somewhat more untested, they have not yet found that they do. There's no proof that they do have any effects on the child. The rate of birth defects among women who have HG and who do not have HG are equivalent. If you have a question about any drug, you can simply generally Google the drug, Google with the term birth defects, and you'll find reports basically saying we conclude that it has absolutely no effect on the fetus. The problem is a lot of women are simply afraid that they're taking several drugs in combination, and they say, you know, this has to be affecting my baby, and what they do is they go off the drugs, and that is often a huge mistake because if the symptoms return, you may suffer from malnutrition. And if that goes on long enough, it is going to hurt the baby. The baby may have low birth weight and a series of complications. Mm-hmm. So you really have to take the drugs as prescribed by your doctors. If you have concerns, look them up and satisfy yourself that, you know, the rate of birth defects with these drugs is no higher than the general population of pregnant women. The main threat that hyperemesis poses to your baby is if it is untreated and you become malnourished. One thing I would also like to say, the body has a remarkable way of, you know, basically saying, you know, children first, babies first. You know, the mother may look terrible and dehydrated, but generally the body's ensuring that the baby is getting what it needs, you know, at the expense of the mother often. But you have to get some kind of nutrition in your body, and if the only way to do that is to take the medications, you have to do that. You can't just say, I'm going to, you know, wither away, because that's going to hurt the baby more than the drugs would, and there's no proof that most of these drugs have any effect whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think I'm trying to pretend and put myself in the shoes of a pregnant female that's going through this, that's having this disorder, and it's like you're worried about the baby's health, but you yourself is going through some changes. Like you're you're kind of, you got it bad, and then you're worried about the baby, so you're just, it's like you're juggling three flaming torches and trying to do it on one foot with a blindfold. Like, you're just, you got a lot going on. It's kind of crazy. Like, you got a lot going on. So, I mean, I commend women. Just, I have a newfound respect for women. Just getting, you know, being able to do this and have to deal with, like last week we were talking about PCOS and the problems that occur just to try to get pregnant, you know, and now it's after you're pregnant, then you got something you might have to go through. So I'm developing this wonderful appreciation for my queens and my princesses, soon to be queens. And once again, I'd like to just thank Lyle. I'd like to thank Lyle for coming on the show and talking about the disease, the hyperemesis, a little bit better. I like to thank, you know, everyone in your organization that's sent, because I got the book and I'm actually reading the book with my son, and I think that's just a wonderful thing that, you know, you guys send the book out. And I like to, one, for myself, I want to give a shout out to Ashley McCall, the author of the book.
Shout out to Ashley.
Yes, and I'm reading the children's book, you know, because I'm not quite grown up yet to read the adult version. I'm reading the book, and me and my son, we take turns reading the children's version of it, and it's a very interesting and informative piece to read. And I think that a lot of, I like to encourage the fellas, if we could, you know, step our games up and start looking at these women and the things that they go through to have these children that we want, or these children that we may not be necessarily looking for, but just the fact that they carry these children, I think that's a remarkable thing. I think we should grow our appreciation for these women, for these beautiful creatures. And like Lyle said, you know, the fact that, you know, your body kind of shuts, you know, turns into, we got to take care of this kid now, you know, forget what you think, it's about the baby. You know, I think that that's one of those marvels of nature and God that you know, we kind of take for granted. And that's why I wanted you to come on the show to talk about.
Thank you, absolutely. It was my pleasure and my honor.
You didn't came to Step the Game Up Saturdays, Lyle, you more than welcome to come back next time. Only thing you got to do is pour your own Kool-Aid.
Okay. Yes.
Most definitely. You're now tuning in live to Step the Game Up Saturdays with Diva Spot Radio. Your host, Jay Biggs. We got a special guest live in the building live. We Step the Game Up Saturdays talking about HD. Make sure you go out, educate, and regulate yourself. Also, be sure to go to the top of the page and like the show. Follow the show so you can stay updated once Step Your Game on Saturdays will be live. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpot. It's your girl, Diva Ebony B. Follow me on Twitter @DivaEbonyB. We out of here, y'all.